Welcome to Chamber Breakers, presented by Verizon Business and Yahoo Finance. I'm Leanna Brinded, head of Yahoo Finance UK.
And I'm Xavier White, CSR and Innovation Marketing Manager at Verizon Business. During this series, Leanna and I will be inviting thought leaders to break the echo chambers surrounding key societal issues.
This season, we're focused on corporate social responsibility, education, and the workforce at a time of global crisis.
We're delighted to welcome my friend, Charlie Craggs, trans activist, author, and founder of Nail Transphobia. He's going to talk about her life experiences and how we stop bullying and bigotry going from the playground to the workplace.
So I remember the first time I was called a girl in a mean way. I am a council estate girl. I'm from Ladbroke Grove, and council estates, like, I love being from a council estate, but I think one of the bad things about council estates is they've got this kind of this macho culture where boys are expected to be men before their time, and that hurts everyone. It hurts the boys who are boyish boys, who I feel are kind of fed this kind of like the tropes of like boys don't cry and boys aren't sensitive and boys have to be tough and stuff. But it also hurts the boys or people who aren't like kind of gender conforming and aren't tough and stuff. And I, as someone who is assigned male at birth and someone who transitioned in their kind of like early 20s, late teens, I was one of these boys who was really sensitive and effeminate and quiet. And because of these things, I was called a girl. Like, people would always be like, you're a girl, you're a girl, you're a girl. And I remember the first time I was called it, I like ran home to my mum and I cried, and I was so embarrassed. And I was almost embarrassed to tell my mum as well. And it's funny because I go back to my council estate now, like I've moved away recently, and I get called a man by the same people who called me a girl, which is really interesting because it's like, you can't win with these people. Like, you called me a girl and I became a girl, and now you're calling me a man. Like, it's just, it's funny, but it's not funny at all, actually. It's actually very sad, but you have to laugh. And I think my laughing at it is my way of coping with it. And another way I cope with it is by kind of having gotten involved with activism. So at the start of my transition, I started a campaign called Nail Transphobia, where I basically travel around the UK with a pop-up nail salon and offer the public free manicures for the chance to have a chat with a trans person in a bid to kind of open minds and like change hearts and minds and to change perspectives, as well as like kind of just give people a chance to meet a trans person. And it's all about like breaking misconceptions and making allies. And a big reason I did this was because I kind of understood that like most people just haven't met a trans person before. And this is where these misconceptions come from. And then the transphobia is where like that's what comes out of the misconceptions, because people just don't understand. And I kind of look back at my like my early years and just understand that like if these people had it's a weird kind of complex of like, do I blame them? Like, cause they didn't have exposure to people like me, or I don't know. Like, it's a really hard thing, but I think the sooner people, and this includes like young people, like children, what I was experienced growing up, like if they were to be exposed to different types of people, there'd be less bullying amongst young people, but also amongst older people. Cause like, it doesn't matter if you grow up, but if you still haven't met a trans person, you could still be transphobic in the workplace or even in like social spaces or whatever. Like, there's people, I'm sure, like those boys on my estate who grew up and like have taken that with them and like have gone into different spaces. And it doesn't end. It's not like, I think there's this misconception that like you grow up and then like everything's okay and you become like, you like, I don't know, like you change and stuff. And not everyone changes, because not everyone's exposed to different sorts of people. So I think, and my work is all about giving people a chance to meet these sorts of people and different types of people. Like, my thing is all about like essentially holding hands of a stranger, because while you're doing someone's nails, you're kind of holding their hands. So I just think we need to hold hands a bit more and all come together and just like, talk to people outside of our kind of circles and echo chambers. And like, when you meet these people and like get to know people from these communities, it's about taking it back to your communities as well.
You know, thank you so much for sharing your story, your honesty, your experiences. Before we begin with questions, I wonder if you could just confirm to our listeners what your pronouns are, and then explain a little bit about why someone not respecting a trans person's pronouns or any person's pronouns is actually bullying.
Yeah, so my pronouns are she and her. I don't like saying preferred pronouns because I don't prefer the pronouns she and her. They are my pronouns. People who are kind of people who are cis and who are happy with the pronouns they were given, they're not their preferred pronouns, they're just their pronouns. So I think we should move away from calling them preferred pronouns. I know you didn't call them preferred pronouns, but just I'm just giving people that message. But I think people roll their eyes when we talk about things like pronouns. And they think it's like this millennial thing, like, oh God, why, like, oh, pronouns, like these weren't a thing in my day, or like, oh, like, why do you care and stuff? And the people who roll their eyes are people who have never been hurt by pronouns, you know, in the same way that people might roll their eyes at like safe spaces or things like that. The people who roll their eyes are people who've never needed safe spaces or pride or pronouns. Like, you need to, if you're rolling your eyes, you need to ask yourself like why. And it comes from privilege. You've been very blessed in that your pronouns have always fit you, so they've never been even a thought to you. The way I can best describe it is like being pre-transition, I felt sick. Like I felt physically sick. I could hardly look at myself in a mirror. Like I felt depressed. I felt suicidal. Like it kind of triggers all those feelings. So yeah, I'd urge people who kind of roll their eyes at pronouns or don't really try with pronouns or don't think pronouns matter to just like understand that it might not matter to you, but it matters to other people. And I'd also, on the topic of pronouns, bring up like if you don't know someone's pronoun, ask. Like it's okay to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. I'm a trans person. I've made mistakes for other trans people. Do you know what I mean? Like it's okay. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And it's a lot of muscle memory as well. But just try your best. Like if you slip up, apologize and move on. If you don't know someone's pronoun, ask. And yeah, maybe we need to like normalize this culture of asking pronouns, because that would save a lot of hurt for people like me who do get misgendered with the wrong pronoun.
It can make such a huge difference to someone's life and at work and in the corporate world. There seems to be some really great steps that companies are taking, and I know that our company does as well, where it's been very encouraged that even if you are cisgender, that to put in what your pronouns are into your emails or into your company profiles. How do you feel that will make a difference in terms of the cis world, basically, understanding the importance of pronouns?
I think you've kind of answered it in yourself in that it just kind of manifests this culture of respecting pronouns, understanding if not the need for yourself, like the kind of the importance for yourself, just for other people. And just it kind of like also just normalizes a culture of like asking pronouns and just like knowing pronouns and like just being conscious, I guess is the word I'm trying to find, of pronouns. I think it kind of is really good for that. I think if we just manifest this culture where we're just like, we understand the importance of pronouns, which can be helped along by doing things like what you mentioned, I think that it will help everyone. And I feel like there's no losers in this. It is literally portrayed like it's some like millennial thing, like, oh, these annoying little SJW crybabies. But like non-binary identities have been around since literally in every like ancient culture, there's proof of existence of people of like third genders where they're like not here nor there and stuff. And it's kind of been like demonized, but really like, Is it hurting you to really like say a word or like they or to ask someone their pronoun? No, it's not. Just like be a decent human. Jesus Christ, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's not that hard. But I wonder, when we talk about technology and how that can allow people to write their pronouns on profiles, on email signatures, it's also unfortunately not that hard to use technology the other way and to hide behind the screen to things like cyberbullying. And people do, they hide behind their avatars, their screens. And I wonder, since the world's been the strange world we now live in and we've all been behind our screens that much more, have you seen an increase in transphobia? Do you think people are using technology to perpetuate hate as well as progress? And is it getting worse?
I hate the word influencer, but I do like influencer work. So I've got like a bit of a following. And obviously with a following, you get like the good people following you, but also get like, you put your head above a parapet and you get bad people following you too. So like I get a lot of abuse in my DMs and like I don't engage now because you just kind of learn that they've come looking for a fight. So if you fight with them, you're giving them what they want. And it's like what your mom says when you grow up, like, oh, don't, that's what they want. And I was always like, no, well, I'm going to fight with them. But when you actually think about it, it's like they literally have searched you up, typed your name in, gone to your profile, pressed message, typed a message. They have looked for a fight. And if you give it to them, you are giving them what they want. So I refuse to do that now. People would say what they want over a keyboard much easier than what they'd say to your face if you're standing in person, because it kind of creates like a barrier, an emotional barrier almost as well, where like even people who aren't even trolling, who are just like, just saying throwaway comments on the internet that just maybe are slightly mean, like, and it's like, you just wouldn't say that to someone in person. So like, yeah, I do think this has kind of manifested quite a mean kind of toxic culture, this kind of lack of accountability for what you're saying, because you just wouldn't say these things in person.
What can people do in the workplace to be able to support either, you know, fellow colleagues or understand a bit more in order to make things a better place?
Oh, this is a really good question. I always say, and it's like the easiest thing, and it's something you can do right, literally right now, like anyone listening to this, and it's something we can do while we're in lockdown, is just to follow people online who are part of communities that you're not part of, that you kind of don't understand. And you can follow like silently, like you don't have to engage with their content, you don't have to like it or comment or like anything or message them, obviously. If you're just like slowly digesting all the things that they're posting and their captions, and like just kind of almost by osmosis, like you're gonna like build up a kind of like a better understanding of that person and of that, what that person kind of represents as part of that community. And I think that's the easiest thing you can do, is to understand, to gain a better understanding of a community and to become a better ally. Just listen. Listening is so important. And if go beyond digital, like read like books, like watch films, YouTube videos, even podcasts like this even. I think it's really important just to share that information. When you hear things that are contrary to that information, you speak out and you say something. Like if I was in the workplace and like I heard something that didn't sit right with me in regards to another community, from what I've learned, I would say something. So I just hope that people start kind of doing this, just listening more.
It is, a lot of it is personal responsibility. We have to make ourselves better people to make the world a better place. But do you think there's a responsibility of businesses to help their employees do that, so that it's not all on the individual? Do you think tech companies have a responsibility to signpost?
I mean, I think that'd be amazing. I don't know if it's like feasible or if it's actually going to happen, but I think that would be amazing, and it's doable as well. It's not even, like you said, it's not even like a far like cry or like a massive ask, because with technology it's super, super achievable. But even smaller things like making like the workspace like a safe space, and just like having like policy in place that makes it clear what's allowed, what's not allowed, and just like what you stand for as a company, what you don't stand for, and like having these things in place kind of creates a environment that everyone in that, who exists in that space, knows like, oh, I can say or think or do this, and I can't do this, or I can't say this. And also just like that's kind of reiterated by the people who work there then, and just like encouraging that kind of fostering of community, in the sense that of like what I said before about like calling things out if you hear something that's wrong, and even if it's not offensive to you, like you're not part of that community, but if you hear something that's wrong, say something. And you don't even, if you're not a confrontational person, honey, you don't even have to say it to the person, go to HR, like, you know what I mean? Like, but you have to say something. Like, don't, if it goes unchallenged, the person who said the dodgy thing now knows they can get away with saying that, and everyone who was in earshot knows that they can too. So it kind of fosters an environment that's like racist or homophobic or whatever. I think it's really important just to create environments in the workspace that are just safe spaces for everyone. And I think that's, it's all of our responsibility, and it's something that we can all kind of police. And because we can't rely, like, I think it'd be amazing to like wish for these big companies to do the things that you're saying, but I don't know if they are actually going to, like, I don't know if they feel any sense of duty, like duty was the word, and I feel like that's quite a strong word. I don't know if they feel that sense of duty, but I think as humans, like business aside, money aside, humans, good people should feel a sense of duty, even if businesses don't.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things there is that what we can all do on individual levels as well to create those networks, to create that great sense of community environment, because it will change things. Even going before adulthood and fostering that sense of education and understanding in childhood, you were talking about obviously being raised on a council estate with the toxic masculinity and, you know, those boys that are very pressured to be a certain way, which impacts the entire community. Do you think that at school, there should be some education around gender?
Absolutely. I think everything should. I think it's just important that it's not even about like whether you agree with something or whether you ask something, just everything should be talked about just to like just to, so that it's not something that's taboo, because things are only taboo if they're not talked about, you know, things are only taboo if they're hush hush and like, oh, that's wrong, da, 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 da. Like if things are just normalized, then there's no shame in it, you know, like if kids were taught from an early late age that like some boys like boys, like then it's normal, it's like fact to them, like kids will be like, okay, then okay, like, and most kids are like that, but it's they're taught the homophobia or the transphobia or the racism or the whatever. Kids aren't born that way, they're taught it. So rather than teaching them that, we need to be teaching them that it's okay, and then they wouldn't be going around the playground bullying the little gay kids or bullying the kids of like different races or whatever. Like it's just, I think that's where it starts, and that's why we have it in the workplace as well, is because it wasn't challenged, you know, like they've like left the playground being homophobic or racist or whatever, and they've gone into the workplace being like that. I'm sure like the people I went to school with, I'm sure that they're still making gay jokes in the staff room at work. I can promise you they are. It's just, I think it's, we're failing both the kind of the perpetrators, like the people who are being these bad things, but also obviously most importantly the people who are on the receiving end. I think everyone is being failed. It's such a British thing to just like not talk about it and just rather like hide, like be polite and just like not address the kind of uncomfortable thing, be passive aggressive. Why don't we just like address this like big ugly thing in the room, have these uncomfortable conversations? And they're really not that uncomfortable. Like I think it's, especially when you talk about things like LGBT stuff and kids, like gender or like sexuality stuff, it's made out to be like, oh, but kids, like it's too much for kids and kids won't understand. First of all, kids do understand, and it's like you're not given a five-year-old the ins and outs of sexual intercourse or homosexual sexual intercourse, but you're literally just saying some boys like boys. Like you'll be these people who are saying that it's a problem will be fine like asking that child, have you got a boyfriend or girlfriend? So that child does understand what a girlfriend or boyfriend is. They just need to be told some boys can have boyfriends. That's all you need to say. Why is that more offensive than like asking your little boy, oh, how many girlfriends do you have? Like it's exactly the same thing, but it's rooted in homophobia that you think is a bad thing. Like, so I think we just need to address these uncomfortable truths.
Yeah, I think we do. And I just wanted to, you know, say that you to many people are a bit of a trans icon.
Oh my god, that's so embarrassing. Don't you dare.
I knew it was gonna
be a reaction. 25k followers. No, I'm not Beyonce, I'm nobody.
But you know, you've gone from someone that I knew in a London youth group when we were LGBT kids to somebody that, you know, you spoke at Cannes Lions, you've been published, you are an award-nominated author, a person that's on top this and most influential that list. You've been in Vogue, modelled for a Selfridges campaign. So I thought, as you're an out and proud trans woman and you've achieved all these things, we've talked about some quite bleak things and the world can seem really awful for trans people if you go on social media and you get caught up in those debates that happen that are just bullying, as we've discussed.
Yeah.
So if there's someone listening and they're a young trans person or they're questioning their gender identity, maybe there's someone unsure of coming out because of the transphobia, as someone that's done it and achieved and proved that you can have a life of all of the things that everyone dreams of when they're a kid and the achievements that we're taught to aim for, do you have any advice? What would you say?
It's really key to work on yourself, to build up yourself, kind of the toughness of your skin, essentially, like the kind of like your self-esteem and stuff, so that you're not hurt or affected by the things that other people say or do, because people are going to say or do them. I'm going to just be real, like it's not going to be easy, but once it's hard, but you're harder. If you can like find a way of like putting that kind of passion, whether it's like anger or like sadness or something, into like something productive for yourself, or if not, just for your kind of strength of character. That's, I think, the best way to get through it. Because if you don't find a way of like processing the sad things in life, I think sometimes you just get too, I mean, you're just going to end it all. Like there's no kind of like silver lining. There's nothing to be like, well, at least this came out of it. If you can't find something good in a situation, like, why are you here? So just, yeah, try and find something good in the bad.
Well, I think that's without a doubt the one of the best ways to finish an interview on such an affirmative and empowering note. So it's amazing. Thank you so much. But before we go, definitely want to give you an opportunity to let anyone who's watching or listening, let them know how to follow you, what accounts, and also how to find you online.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I am just Charlie_Crags on everything. So I'm on Instagram, Twitter, that sort of thing. I don't really use Twitter, actually, because it's literally just a cesspit of like arguing, especially about stuff. I'm like, no, I'm good. You can follow me on there if you want, but like, I won't be on there, but I'll be on Instagram. That's where the good content is. That's where the content is of me dragging transphobes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so brilliant. And for everyone watching and listening, you can find videos and articles about this series on the Yahoo Finance UK site. And if you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe to hear more.